Good morning. I am excited to be here this morning. I'm excited because, you know, I love to watch the Holy Spirit move. I love to watch the Holy Spirit work. Don't you just love it when you can feel the Holy Spirit working in your life? When you get to feel the Holy Spirit working in your life, you get to see God moving. You get to see God working, whether it be at a church service or maybe a Bible study. Maybe you're in your car and you're singing out loud as you're going down the road. The one song that you love, that inspirational Christian song, and you can just feel that presence of God. Maybe in different areas of your life where you're seeing answers to prayer, or even in times that are quiet. Maybe you just got done reading your Bible, having a devotion, and you're just quiet, and you can feel the presence of God all around you. You can feel the Holy Spirit moving, and you know that you're in the presence of Almighty God. I mean, there is no denying that God is near. And you can feel His presence. And when it happens, it's amazing. It's powerful. It's energizing. It's refreshing. And it's easy. It's very, very easy to worship when you feel like this. But what happens when you don't feel that? As Christians, you know, we get to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit moving in our life. And it gives us a feeling that we can't always explain. But what about when you don't feel that? What about when you don't feel that? That's what I want to talk about this morning, and I've titled today's message, More Than a Feeling. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to speak on Your Word. Lord, thank You for this opportunity. I pray for every individual here, the ones that, they're the ones that aren't here. I pray for them, dear Heavenly Father. I thank You again for each and every one of their lives. And I look and I pray about the ministry that we have during this pandemic, and what is Your ministry, and how do we get that out? How do we spread it? What is Your will? And I'm praying for that. Lord, I thank You again for all that You're doing. I ask Your presence to be here this morning. I ask You, dear Heavenly Father, for Your presence to be there in the houses, in the cars, as we worship this morning. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the greatest gift we as Christians receive, besides the gift of salvation, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a Spirit of God that is living in us, working in us and through our lives. And as believers, we get to feel and see God work. And it's an absolute blessing for us to experience those days when God is at work in our lives. And you get to feel the presence of Almighty God. But what about the days when you do not feel His presence? What about the days where you wonder, God, are You there? Those days when it seems like nothing is going right. It seems like You're missing that contact from God. Right? We pray and we pray, and we feel like the prayers maybe don't even hit the ceiling. We want to feel God's presence, but we don't. We want strength. We want comfort. We want healing. We want guidance and wisdom. We want a word. We just want something. But nothing comes. We might even wonder whether God has left us. God, where have you gone? I need you right now. What's going on? You know, these times are every bit as real, and sometimes at least more frequent than the times when we feel that incredible presence of God. You know, as your pastor, I go through periods in time like this. Shocker, right? I mean, even pastors feel this. I too actually depend on this at times. And God's helping me with this. One of the ways He's helping me is in this preparation for this service, this message. I too can become dependent on that feeling when I'm preparing a message for Sunday morning. And it's very easy to get caught up and prepare a message when you get to feel the Holy Spirit working and pushing and pulling and showing and providing. But what about when that doesn't happen? Times when I'm going through my life, preparing for a message maybe, and I'm struggling, and I'm going, God, I need you right now. I don't know what I should be doing. I need your help. And nothing. So it happens to me. Praying to feel God's presence in your life. Praying to feel God moving. Praying to feel God working. And nothing. We start trying to figure out, well, I'll say it for myself. I start trying to figure out what's going on. Did I do something wrong? God, did I do something wrong? Do I have sin in my life? I don't understand. God, you know I need you. God, you know I want to feel your presence right now. Where are you at? You know, I can't help but think about Corrie Ten Boom when I think about this. Corrie Ten Boom and her entire family, they were devoted Christians from Holland back in the Second World War, the Holocaust. Her and her family, they weren't Jewish, but they understood that honoring God included respecting the Jewish people. So they did everything in their power to help save as many Jews as possible. They reconstructed their home with small hidden rooms and escape routes. That way they could take the Jews in and they could hide from the Nazis or escape from the Nazis. Well, eventually they were ratted out. The Nazis raided their home and took all 10 of the family members. Took them to concentration camps in northern Germany. Corrie and her sister Betsy, they were separated from the rest of the family and they were placed in barracks with other women. These barracks that these young ladies was placed in were infested with fleas. So bad that the girls were covered head to toe 24 hours a day in fleas. Their entire bodies were covered in flea bites, and they constantly bled from all the scratching that they were doing. The girls prayed. Early on, girls prayed to God that the fleas would go away and leave them alone. But it never happened. Day after day, the girls would read their small Bible that they snuck into the concentration camp, and they continued sharing the gospel with other girls in the barracks. But their circumstances stayed the same. Actually, in fact, it got worse. Corey's older sister, Betsy, died in that concentration camp. Now, it'd be very easy for us, hearing this story, to think, where was God? Why didn't He help? Why didn't He answer their prayers? Nothing seemed to be going right. Where was God in all of this? You know, we all experience these times in our life. Maybe not as severe as Corey Ten Boom, but all Christians will go through this from time to time. You see, we don't operate on a spiritual high all the time. And we don't always have this clear and strong sense of the presence of God. All relationships, hear me out, all relationships have times of closeness and times of distance. And in a relationship with God, no matter how intimate that relationship is, that pendulum will swing from one side to the other. And when it does, the entire matter of worshiping and offering that self as a living sacrifice, it comes very difficult. The only thing to turn to in these times is prayer and God's Word. You see, God's Word tells us He's not going to leave us or forsake us. God doesn't go anywhere. When it feels like God is nowhere to be found, then you go seek Him. Matthew 7:7 tells us, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." So dive into His Word. Seek for yourself. But you need to understand one thing. God does not depend on your feelings for our awareness of Him. You see, there's more to relationship with Christ than just feeling His presence in your life. We live in a society that is consumed with feelings. There is an unending emphasis on feelings and appealing to our feelings. Unfortunately, Christians have fallen into this with regard to relating to God. The Bible never said that we are to seek to experience God. It says we are called to seek God. This is what this scripture is telling us. This is what God has called us to do. You know, Christians often seek feeling God. And when it happens, when we feel that and we feel God's presence, then we conclude that we have worshiped. But there are times when God will remove our feelings, so we don't become dependent on them. You see, it's not that God has disappeared. He wants us to be dependent on Him and not our feelings. Seeking a feeling, even the feeling of closeness to God and Christ, that's not worship. We should worship God no matter what we are feeling. We worship when all is good, but we also worship when it's not so good. That's what true worship is about. It's not easy. We worship God because He is present in our lives, even when we can't feel Him. And we acknowledge it We say, God, you know, I don't feel like worshiping right now. But I know you are working for my good. I know you are still there. I know that you love me, and I love you for it. That, my friends, that is worship. When you can look outside of your current situation, when you can look outside of your current circumstances, when you can look outside of your current feelings and give God the glory, that is an awesome thing. You know, when we're younger in our faith, call it baby Christians if you will, God often gives more feelings. He'll give you more confirming emotions. But as we mature in our faith, He leads us to a more important place. Let me say that again. As we mature in our spirituality, as we mature in our faith, God will lead you to a more important place than your feelings. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:7. If you've got your Bibles, you're sitting there at the house, grab your Bible, flip it to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And it would help if I was in the right book. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight." We live by faith, not by sight. In other words, not by emotions, not by feelings, and not by what we can see. We walk by faith, knowing God is still on the throne, no matter what is happening around us. Even when we can't feel His presence. Flip with me over to Hebrews 11, 1. Just a few more books. Hebrews, just a few books to the right. 11, 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Not what we see, but what we do not see. God's saying, it's one thing to have faith and trust when you can feel or you can see my presence in your life, but worship and faith and trust goes to a whole new level when you can do the exact same things and you don't feel my presence in your life. You know, as we grow in faith, God will wean you off of the dependence of your feelings. I mean, God's always present in your life, don't get me wrong. But He's much more concerned with us trusting Him than our feelings about Him. Let me say it another way. Whether we feel His presence in our life shouldn't dictate the level of faith, the level of trust, or the level of worship that we have for Him. Think about it for a minute. Think about how Job handled what must have felt like God abandoning him. I mean, if you recall, Job lost everything. He lost his family, all his possessions. He lost his health. By the time we get to the very end of chapter 1 in Job, he's torn off all his clothes and he's standing there naked. He doesn't even have a decent pair of clothes to put on. And how does he respond? How does Job respond when he has lost everything? Everything. He's lost his wealth, his health, his family. He's lost everything. And how does Job respond? Job 1:21, he says this, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away." Now pay attention to the last sentence in this verse. He says this, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job has absolutely nothing left. And when I say absolutely nothing, I mean nothing left. And he praises God. If there is anyone in history that no longer felt like God was present in their life, it was Job. It could have been Job. It should have been Job, right? Yet he praised God in the middle of it all. What an attitude to have. What a reality we should have by hearing this. This is where we, as mature Christians, need to be. You know, God is not in the business of making us happy all the time or having everything go right in our lives. I know that's hard to hear. You see, God's more concerned with your character. And ultimately, He's more concerned with your eternity. God never promised to heal us and give us health. He doesn't promise to fill our bank accounts. He doesn't promise to keep us employed. We learned last week that He promised to provide food, clothing, and shelter. And then Jesus went on to say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be provided unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these, talking about the shelter, talking about the food, talking about the clothing, then they will be provided unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say seek ye feelings. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God. He wants our trust. He wants our relationship. When you're feeling isolated from God, what do? Well, for starters, you be honest with God. I mean, He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows what you're feeling. Just be honest. Just have an honest conversation with your Father. Tell Him how you're feeling. Tell Him how you're doing. "God, it's hard right now because I don't feel Your presence. You know everything that's going on, and You know how much I need You right now. And it feels like I'm isolated from You. I don't understand what's happening, and I need Your help. Please, God, help me." And once you've done that, then focus on His promises. I already told you earlier, He says He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Listen to what Philippians 1:6 says. "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ," until Christ returns. Here's what that scripture's saying. When God starts a project, He completes it. He didn't give up on you. He hadn't gone anywhere. He will help you grow until He has completed His work in you. This is a promise you can take to the bank. You see, when we go through tough times in life and we don't feel His presence, that's when you need to rely on God's promises, not your feelings. That's what this message is all about today. Rely on God's promises, not your feelings. Let me tell you the ending of the Corrie Ten Boom story. After Corrie was released from the concentration camp, she realized that the barracks she was in was the only barracks that had the infestation of fleas. And because of the infestation of fleas in that barracks, the German guards wouldn't come into that building to sexually assault those women. They left them alone. And one more thing. Because of that infestation of fleas, the guards never came in to check their belongings. And this is the reason why they were able to have a Bible with them the entire time. Because of Corrie Ten Boom's ability to not dwell on her feelings and second guess God and where was God, she was able to lead many, many, many women to Christ in a flea-infested concentration camp in northern Germany. When times got tough, it just pushed her harder and harder into God's Word. So allow yourself to be driven to God's Word and do what you know is true. Do what you know is right. Imagine what that does in your relationship with God. God, I don't understand what's going on. God, this is not comfortable, but I know you're here with me. And I love you for it. That, my friends, is a statement of faith. And see, when you get down to it, you really start to think about it. God really doesn't need to do anything else for us that He hadn't already done. I mean, He's already done enough. Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ died for you. He died for us. He died for this world. It's the absolute greatest reason for worship. And don't forget, He knows exactly what it feels like to be away from His Father. He'll never ask us to do something that He hadn't already done. Matthew 27:46, if you remember about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus was on that cross, in that moment, Jesus knew that His Father had to look away. He couldn't bear the sight of all the sin that Jesus was bearing. And at that moment, He wasn't in the presence of His Father. Did He give up? Did He throw in the towel? No. You know why? Because Jesus understood that there was some eternal purpose in what God was doing. So is the case in our life. So is the case in your life. Jesus felt a weight of separation from His Father that you and I will never know. But He kept on going because He saw something greater for His relationship with God. The same is true with us. In those times in our life when we feel that God seems so far away, know that He is at work in your life and won't stop working in your life. And He is seeking a closer relationship with you. He is real, no matter what your feeling. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You are with me even when I don't feel it. Thank You for the promises that You have made. Thank You for who You are and that You're God and I'm not, and I don't have to be in control. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine the amount of love that You have for people like us. And I'm so thankful for it. Thank You that You're with us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You.